Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Many of you have been around for a while, and we've done this for, what, 5 or 6 years, Andrew? Well, know that once the season is ended, it sometimes takes us a little time to get back in the Jayhawk Talk studios and put out a season recap episode. That has not changed this year. We are still in mourning from our loss in the Final Four, although reflective a little bit more now on a fantastic season. But this is not that season recap episode. Instead, we had some other stuff go down since the Final Four came out. And Andrew, I'm going to bring you in here. Something about the FBI. FBI something? Something or other?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Kevin, whether it's FBI or not, or negative towards KU or not, like, talking about off-the-court issues is, like, my least favorite thing to talk about it.
You hate it.
I hate it. Like, even, like, talking about recruiting, don't love talking about recruiting. And so, you know, shouts out to our boys, I guess, maybe not anymore. Maybe they're not our friends anymore. At the CBS Sports Podcast, Ion College Basketball, Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander, because they just had a scathing podcast. But whenever they talk about, like, off the court issues, I don't turn it off because I just, like, I don't care. I'd rather talk about basketball.
Well,
so unfortunately, you're going to drag me along and talk about off the court issues, even though it's pretty important and obviously on the top of people's heads. So if you're one of those people out there who enjoys these off the court issue podcasts, then man, eat it up for this one. I'll say this. We're going to do a season recap podcast where we break down like our favorite 12 things that happened this year to recap this season. Because this was a Final Four season. We know you don't get a lot of those. Pretty special season that we'll go through and we'll talk about a lot of the things. But unfortunately, that's not this podcast.
I can't believe that, first of all, I talked you into doing this podcast for the reasons that you just stated. So that's how I know this thing is super important, because you were even like, yeah, we probably should do that. And honestly, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've gotten like a zillion tweets saying we want a KU FBI podcast. We want your reactions to this. There hasn't been much out there, you know, from the KU perspective. I think a lot of people are just either being quiet or you know, taking some time off after the season, but we thought we ought to bring some info to the folks and certainly provide our take. So let's take a step back here. And I don't have the timeline in front of me, but you'll all remember that the FBI came out with a, you know, one of their press conference deals where they get on a podium and show facts and figures and graphs and show demonstrate the underbelly of the NCAA and college basketball in particular, and had several coaches, you know, indicted. They brought in actually arrested people from this deal. It was a whole sting, right? 3,000 hours of recorded conversations and dating back to some Adidas executives, and then implicating also some folks at an agency. And so we know all that, right? We've seen that. We saw the names that came out with that. And then kind of the next little shoe to drop was the leaking, I guess you could call it, of a few documents from the ASM, Andy Miller agency. This was the one, remember, that had like Elijah Johnson listed with a loan owed, and it was some kind of concerning and when the timeline was, and we didn't really know. And then there was a payment allegedly to Apples Jones, would have been Josh Jackson's mother. And so we saw that stuff all come out too. And I remember you and I had a podcast about that, and our initial reaction to that was, it could have been worse, right? That was, I think we even literally said that on this podcast, like, this could have been way worse. If this is all it's there, we're in good shape. Unfortunately, it was not all that was there. And that's where we fast forward to most recently, when the FBI originally, or again, released a new set of allegations. This, again, arising from the indictment of the Adidas executive. Is it Gatto? What's his name? Jim Gatto? Something like that. And included some new information, including potential implications for Kansas, and sort of the timeline matches up that we've pointed out that it's probably Billy Preston who might have received or family received something in the amount of like $90,000 to steer to an Adidas school or steer to Kansas. And then another payment to the guardian of who we, even though unnamed, discovered is probably Silvio De Sousa, and in the amount of $20,000, which was actually kind of a different scenario. It sounded like he wanted to go to Kansas, but he'd already received a payment, or his guardian had received a payment from a competing school, or I'm sorry, a competing shoe company, and he needed the money from Adidas to repay that company and sort of settle the debts. And you know, going back, you
can I want to come back to.
We can talk to that. I know.
There's a lot to unpack here. Let's put a little note down, little dog ear. Yeah. I want to come back to that.
Okay. So, and we're almost there. I think that's about what we know. I mean, I think you can sort of piece it together that Under Armour might have been that company because he was tied to Maryland. And so maybe, you know, it's sort of without implicating sort of notes that, you know, there's obviously other companies and other schools that could be involved in this whole thing beyond just, you know, the University of Kansas and Adidas. I don't think that would be a shock to anybody at this point. So I think that's sort of, did I capture the picture there, Andrew? Is there anything you need to fill in?
I think that that's a pretty good picture. Other than, and maybe I haven't followed or actually got the answer to this, but is it, you know, limited to Billy and, Silvio, or was there a Marcus Garrett question in there as well?
Originally, like early on, people were concerned that Garrett might be part of it. I don't think he is. Okay. I think they, people ultimately, and this is when I say people, we got to be very candid here. You and I probably have spent, how much time have you spent reading the actual documents? Did you read it?
No. I mean, I just the Twitter clips of it.
Yeah.
Like I didn't actually get the document. Oh, so, and let's go out on the limb here and just tell everybody, I think we should title this podcast Two Lawyers Talk About the FBI Thing.
Just to get clicks.
Just to get them in. But then they get this disclaimer, like that means nothing.
That means very little.
that means like it's like when you do become a lawyer. So we, Kevin and I, are both lawyers. But like when you, and I'm sure you experience this as well. But when you become a lawyer, you get texts and phone calls from random family members and sometimes close friends and sometimes people you're very not even closely or you haven't talked to in a long time who give you a call like, hey, I've got this question about healthcare disclosure law regarding Medicaid repayment. Can you just off the top of your head tell me, you know, what I'm like, no, I cannot. I can probably go spend a day trying to look it up.
See, what's worse is what's worse between you and I on this is I can agree with you that you would not be able to answer that one. I get very simple questions about being a lawyer that I should know, like where's the courthouse that I can't even answer because I've never done that kind of law. I mean, at least you have some, you know, you worked at a firm, you have some background on very basic legal stuff. What's the first thing I should do when I get a ticket? Like, I don't know, call your lawyer, pay it. Like, I don't know. So, but I do have one question right off the bat. I did ask some Twitter questions and I did say this, Andrew, two lawyers getting ready to talk about this FBI thing. Here's a question. Yeah,
put that out there just for clicks, but just, you know, here's your disclosure. We don't know anything about federal criminal specific NCAA. There's probably like four or five people in the country who do. So anyone who tells you they know this stuff, that's not a specialty. That specialty does not exist.
We did take sports law. We did take sports law.
And I think we both did very well in it.
I got top paper.
At least I did. I don't think I got top paper. Ooh, I got an A.
That's too bad. Okay. So, Here's a question from Darren Reed. Just we're going to read right off the top. I'm going to test your knowledge. By the way,
Darren Reed, loyal KU or Jayhawk Talk follower from my hometown. Good guy.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Optometrist. Go to his optometry firm. There you go. Optometry place.
All right. Here's his question. Why is this coming out of the Southern District of New York? And do they even have a jurisdiction in Lawrence, Kansas?
Oh, all right, God. I'm teeing
one up for you.
I actually probably can answer that.
I figured you could.
Southern District of New York is where a lot of the financial crimes originate. If you're following anything with Trump, which if you're like me, you probably are, following the soap opera day to day. So a lot of the financial crime stuff happens there. They're widely regarded as one of the top district offices or federal district offices in the country. For that reason, they have a lot of, financial. And so even like if the pecking order of attorney general. So if the attorney general gets fired and down the line, I think that the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, like, is in that pecking order, that they view that as important. So in terms of jurisdiction, yes, likely have jurisdiction because of the Adidas aspect of it. Adidas likely has an office in New York, likely does business in New York. So I think that's an easy grab, and it's not like someone's gonna file a removal to, like, we need to go to the District of Kansas because Kansas is implicated in this. So that's probably the most likely spot for that to stay.
Cool.
And fortunately, we do not have a jurisdictional out on this.
Keith Yackel also asked a very similar question. Do either of you know why everything being run through New York City court? So there, you named it. Andrew, my first reaction to hearing the Southern District of New York was not what you did. You're like Trump and financial crimes, blah, blah, blah. My reaction was, oh, isn't that the one on billions?
Oh, so, totally. Yeah. So that's a similar deal. You see Paul Giamatti going after Axe.
Right.
Southern District of New York, like financial crimes.
Southern District. There it is. Okay. So, there you have it. That is our kind of beginning to tee these issues up. I tweeted out, Andrew, some topic ideas. We could take this however you want. And I'll give you a few of them and you tell me which one you want to start with. We'll probably hit on all of them at some point. The first one is the Adidas contract, which, we also just are planning on signing a $191 million contract with Adidas negotiating right now. Two, did the staff know what was going on? Three, what are the scenarios, best and worst case? Want to hear your thoughts on the NCAA reaction to this. KU fan reaction to everything. Maybe that's a good place to start. I really want to talk about the idea of KU being a victim, because I love victim talk. The media and opposing coaches' reaction to all of this. I want to hear your thoughts on Silvio and where that stands. And then maybe most importantly, two left here. Why didn't Adidas pay Mitch? Or did they?
That's what I'm wondering.
Okay. And then number 10 is predictions. Like, what are our predictions for all this? So where do you want to start? You tee it up.
That's a lot.
We'll hit on all these sort of.
Let's try to keep this under an hour, because I can't talk about this for more than 45 minutes.
Okay.
But that's a lot. So let's.
Many of these things are going to tie together. So where do you want to start?
I guess let's start with the NCAA.
Okay.
And I did kind of see pop up on your Menchies something about, like, doesn't this say that the NCAA is what was the quote, like, how stupid the NCAA is or how ridiculous the NCAA is?
Yeah, I'll find the name while you talk.
So this is my thought about the NCAA, is that I view the NCAA like a single mom who's just trying to do her best. So if you're like in Walmart and you see a single mom like struggling, you'd never say to her, what you're doing is a joke. You are a joke, single mom. But not only that, this single mom has like 1,300 kids, and the kids get to make the rules in the house. So the kids are running around, they're breaking things, they're holding prostitute parties, they're paying players, they're doing all this stuff. But when the mom asks the kids about it to try to enforce her rules, the kids are like, "Nuh-uh, we didn't do it." And then they can't do anything because she can't go like search them. She can't go figure it out. And because the kids made the rules, it just ends there. But now you have Child Protective Services coming in, a.k.a. the FBI, trying to enforce not the law, but the mom's own house rules. So I'll just say, let's hold off on being uppity to the NCAA about this, about not enforcing their rules, because that's like criticizing this mom at Walmart for not disciplining her kids, because she's just trying her best, Kevin. She's just trying her best.
Okay. I think I followed all those analogies. I'm with you.
So when it comes down to the NCAA, like all the NCAA is crap. NCAA is bullshit here. Like, man, the NCAA has no power, and they have no power by design, because yeah, the member institutions designed it that way.
Yep. Great point. And, you know, one thing that Parrish and Norlander did say on their podcast that I did agree with, or at least made you think, was you go back to the NCAA's, what can they do here? Well, they can investigate, right? And they can look in these things and try to prove them up and whatever. But we are under, if Gatto or anybody who's been implicated in this that's not involved with college athletics, they have no obligation to talk the NCAA whatsoever, and probably don't have any reason to or should. But those that have to talk to the NCAA is someone who is a member institution, someone who you can cooperate with the NCAA, or even a player like Silvio. And so the question on the podcast that they noted was, they didn't think Silvio would be back. And one of the reasons they said it is because if he's not back, he doesn't have to talk. He doesn't have to answer anything. The family doesn't have to answer anything, et cetera. And honestly, that's still an option. Like, they could just refuse to cooperate, but that's what would lead to the Billy situation, which right. is you don't cooperate, so you don't play.
With the Jim Gatto thing, like, he could or he couldn't talk to the NCAA. Let's say he pleads out. Part of his plea deal could be that he is forced to cooperate with any NCAA investigation. That could be a part of
it. Why would the FBI give a shit about that, though?
That's a bigger question.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a question that this podcast should seek to explore. Why are they doing this at all to begin with? They're seeking to enforce NCAA rules. I mean, it seems like, you know, by that press conference they held, that's something that they are interested in doing, you know, being kind of doing this for the NCAA. So, I mean, they certainly could put that in there. That could be a part of any kind of settlement agreement or any kind of plea deal that comes out of this. You know, one thing, I mean, if these charges go away, which it seemed like early on that some of these were on some shaky ground to begin with, then, you know, they have no obligation to talk and likely won't. But, you know, keeping track of the court case is probably important for determining that. And the Silvio deal, I guess let's jump into that. So, catch me up. How much was he alleged to have been paid, or a guardian was alleged to have been paid?
$20,000.
$20,000. And then Billy Preston, was it the same, or was it was more, right?
90.
90. So Billy Preston never played. So there's – I don't think you have anything to worry about with Billy Preston, right, in terms right. of – so who cares? Like, not even a worthy topic. But – the worry would be Silvio De Sousa, his guardian, taking $20,000. If you were armoring up, which I'm not saying you should armor up, I think that the thing you look to is Cam Newton. You know, several years ago, Cam Newton was alleged, his father was alleged to have taken $200,000 from a third party to go to Auburn. And the NCAA didn't do anything with that. They said this, he didn't know about it, and they let him play, and they declared him eligible. So if that's a precedent, and I'm getting all my facts right, which I may be wrong, and there may be some distinguishing elements here, but if you look to that Cam Newton case, if the kid didn't know about it, then you can't do anything, you know, based on precedent, not based on any, you know, this is the way it should be, but based on how they've treated things in the past. Have you seen that argument pop up at all, Kevin?
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the things we have to remember, though, is after that, the NCAA sort of took that that issue and tried to fix it. Like, they have corrected, or what they perceived was a potential gap with the Cam Newton case. So, and I can't remember, I should probably know this, but they have done something in changing the rules that no longer allows that precedent to continue. So I think that is a case that we can look at, but is no longer maybe holds a lot of precedent for what they could do in the future. So, but I agree. That's probably the closest you can come. I mean, even the Cliff Alexander, I mean, there was, and I'm trying to think of who else, Darnell Jackson and who else, Josh Selby. We've had these issues before, and the money was paid back, is my recollection correct? And then, so once they paid it back, they set out some games or got suspended, whatever, 9 games or 10 games, and then they were back. This seems like a different deal, although maybe
why?
The same. Well,
why?
Here I was just going to say, it's same in one aspect, that there's no proof or no showing that the coaches or the school was involved. This was either family or the kid taking something. And so that's one. And honestly, we should probably make that distinction very clear on this whole thing, is you look at all of the other documents out there and from the FBI and the releases and all this stuff really seem to implicate not just, you know, the action of Gatto or the agency, but also one thread runs clear is that an assistant coach or a coach was involved or knew about it. That is completely missing in everything discussing Kansas, every single part of it. And so those that are going in and really defending Kansas and, you know, saying this is no big deal, like, I don't quite agree with that, but to the extent that it's different than the other cases, that is one thing I do agree with. And it's also important to note, and this goes back to your point earlier, the FBI has a lot more resources at its disposal than the NCAA to investigate this stuff. I mean, they're freaking tapping phones. The NCAA ain't tapping phones. They had every ability, you would think, to try to get Kansas or get a coach involved in some of this, and they didn't. So I think that's what's something we should remember in, you know, talking to about all of this. It is a different case than these other ones for that reason. But yeah, I think we're somewhat rare territory here. I don't know that we've got a case we can look at that's exactly the same to know exactly how the NCAA will react.
All right, I want you to jump into the fan category discussion we had. I think that kind of can dictate the way we go forward. Obviously, when this came out, it was Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, there was, you know, immediate hot takers coming out there. And I think we tried to do our best to divide them into categories of how they were thinking, because not all KU fans are created alike. They're not a monolith. They were all very different. But I think we kind of pegged them into certain categories, and you have those written down. I didn't write them down.
Yeah, so, and these have been really funny. As soon as all this came out, you started to see initial hot take reactions from Kansas fans, right? And then they've sort of dug in and solidified themselves in different categories, which it's been fun to sort of, and I haven't really been following Twitter other than watching my mentions and reactions to some tweets and stuff. But here's the categories I have so far for KU fans. I've actually got 8 different categories, but you'll understand them when you see them or hear them. And then think about to yourself which one you fall in, or maybe you fall into multiple ones. That's okay. The first one is denial. Like, our guys would never do this. We're different than everybody else. If you search KU Twitter, you will find people saying, we are not involved in this type of stuff. It's a one-off deal. It's the kids or it's Adidas. It's not us, blah, blah, blah. That's one category. The second category, this is the victim category. And this is by far my favorite. And this is maybe the biggest category, the biggest amount of people, at least the ones that are tweeting, say, hey, look, the FBI, I just read the complaint or I read the documentation. I read Kansas's statement. All I see in there is that Kansas is a victim, and we are a victim, and it is a problem here because we're a victim. And I bet if you search KU B-ball victim, you'd come up with 1,000 tweets, because it's that is one category. The third one, and I really like this one too. This is the one that was really prominent the first time around when all this stuff was coming out. the NCAA is corrupt, so we just shouldn't care about this. Like, this just goes to show how big the big of corruption the NCAA is. It's a farce, whatever. That's one category. I really like this one too. It's more like Trumpian category. The FBI should be doing something else. Like, the FBI should not be involved in trying to figure out what's going on with college basketball. They should be handling some other business.
I'm probably at least part of me is that. I'm a sliver of that. I'm okay. at least 10% that.
Okay, that's fine. And we can do that. And we'll do a pie chart at the end. You can tell me what you are. Number five, this is another one that's out there. The sky is falling category. This is like the message board KU fan. Let's fire Bill Self and go hire Jay Wright. Like, the crazy, this is nuts. And then there's kind of a secondary sky is falling category. This is the one where you sort of believe everything that you're reading in the press about Kansas that's negative. The I believe everything Pat Forty has tweeted category. That's the different kind of sky is falling category. And then this one maybe captures me a little bit and maybe some others. It's the see, I told you this was happening category. This doesn't surprise me. Like, that category. And then the last one, which I assume you have a little bit falls into, I don't care about this category. That's the last one. So,
yeah,
Andrew, of those categories, which one are you finding yourself in?
I'm probably 10% Trump FBI rigged witch hunt, do something else, corrupt.
Witch hunt.
No, yeah, I'm probably 10% FBI should be doing something else. Probably 20% don't care. Probably maybe 1%, like, this was probably happening. And then the rest of it's probably somewhere in the lines of, I can't remember what your early ones were, but.
Denial, victim category.
Probably victim category.
NCAA is corrupt, so we shouldn't care.
Yeah, I'm not in that category. Although. Okay. So the rest of it is probably either the victim / you know, it's if something happened, it wasn't our fault. We have no culpability category. I will say this about the NCAA is corrupt category. I do not consider myself a part of that and do not, participate in that buffoonery. However, in this certain circumstance, a guy like Jay Billis, who normally I think is very annoying when he talks about this stuff, is a good guy to have in your corner. Because Jay Billis has been tweeting about this a little bit, and certainly you know that he's on your side coming into this. So he's a good guy to, well, I think he's normally annoying on that stuff. I'm glad he's taken up our cause to a certain extent.
Yeah, but I agree.
What are you?
I'm sort of in the none of this surprises me category, and only because we've talked about this at length before on this podcast, that this stuff, it's pretty common knowledge that it happens. It has been happening. Kansas has been doing it. Now, are Kansas coaches dropping bags? No, I don't think they are, because I don't think they have to. Early on, Scott Drew might have had to drop bags because that's how he had to get guys. But we didn't have to because we're Kansas. I mean, that's just kind of how that works. But to say that none of this, this stuff at the shoe companies or this other stuff is going on and benefiting Kansas, I think it's just putting your head in the sand. To hear actual specifics makes it more interesting, maybe, to me, just to hear, that it's happening, but literally nothing about it surprised me. Here's probably the thing that bothers me the most is that Kansas is obviously implicated in all this, just, through the fact that we're named. The thing that annoys me the most is that we were the ones that are named and other very high profile teams have not been named so far and have clearly
the Adidas shoe just dropped. Yeah. The Nike shoe hasn't dropped yet.
Right. And that's the difference. And of course, now they're all scrambling and hiding and, shredding documents. So that's the other side of it that, some of them we may never know. But that's probably the thing that annoys me more than anything. But the fact that Kansas is named and that this, all this stuff has been going on, I'm not the least bit surprised. In fact, you know, I'm still in this camp that this could have been worse. Like, this could have, like, Townsend could have been named in this thing. And would that have surprised you?
No,
probably not. And like, that's the thing. Like, this, I'm sort of in that camp. Like, is this, is it obvious that Kansas would have been implicated in this? Yeah, probably. I mean, you can't have a $191 million Adidas contract with guys that are obviously self-interested in driving people to Adidas schools with the obvious ability and pathway to do this through AAU coaches and through AAU programs and through all that nonsense, that it just, it would be shocking for people for Kansas not to be anywhere near it. And the same for any other top program. I would be shocked if Kentucky's not doing the same or has not benefited from the same stuff. I would be floored if Duke has not benefited from the same stuff. I mean, it's just, everyone has, like, and so that's sort of where I'm at.
Well, and this is probably what's probably going on is that when you sign a big deal with that, with a company like that, that company like Adidas, like Nike, has an interest in having the players from that program develop into high profile NBA players.
Of course.
Who they can make money off of.
Sure.
And it is also in the interest of that shoe company to get high school players to go to those schools so they can theoretically be familiar with Adidas. They can have the Adidas guys around, so they will sign with them so they can become a John Wall, so they can become a LeBron James or whoever, and then make millions of dollars off of them down the road.
Absolutely. Right?
But it's also in their interest to keep this from the university. So when those things happen, like, Bill Self doesn't have to be involved. Curtis Townsend doesn't even have to be involved. They can work in the shadows without any consent, without anything going on, and steer those kids to Louisville, to Kansas, to these other programs, to make sure that pipeline to the NBA, to theoretically to the best coaches and the best programs that they can make money off of later. This is a money game. So I think it's more likely that is the scenario that's happening. And does Bill Self know that that's happening? To some degree, maybe, but he's not involved in the day-to-day, and it's probably in the interest of Adidas in keeping him from knowing anything.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess...
And like, can he look at a player on his roster and say, did this guy take money? I don't think the answer is always yes. I think more than likely it's, I don't know.
Okay.
And I don't... And I think the question is does he want to know? And
of course not.
Well, right. And beyond that, you know, Adidas is its own thing. And honestly, I think those shoe companies think they are, and they may be right, bigger than college basketball. And yeah. So they can run, they exist on the outside. They view themselves, they view college basketball as not necessarily a not of important thing, but their interests are above college basketball. So they can do whatever they want.
I've heard this characterized, I can't remember who, it might have been Nick Schwartz, who said something like, this is not a college basketball problem. This is a basketball problem. This is not a NCAA, you know, college basketball or NCAA problem. This is a basketball problem, because it just makes so much sense. I mean, there is so much incentive for these companies to do this that, I mean, and for pennies. I mean, you think about it, a $20,000 investment here or there, like, that's a rounding error. Who gives a crap? But if it steers someone to a program that you want to, that you just signed a $190 million contract with, that ultimately will lock up Adidas for that person for the rest of his, you know, adult professional career, well, it's money well spent. You should get a raise for that. But two questions for you. First, do you think that the KU staff knew, not just specifically about Billy Preston or just Silvio De Sousa, but knows that this stuff goes on to benefit their program?
I don't know. I have no idea. There's nothing one way or the other that I can see that. And I'll let you speculate, but I don't know, because I mean, there's so many moving parts, so many things we don't know, that, you know, it could just be that the Adidas can do whatever it wants. for just to take a hypothetical here, what if they did know? Is there anything they could really do about it?
Probably not. In fact, I think you just keep your mouth shut. I mean, it's clearly benefiting you.
If they find out about it and they're like, hey, guys, let's not do this. It's still in Adidas's interest to get the guys to go to Kansas.
Of course. Do you know what my answer is on this?
I know what your answer is.
The answer is absolutely yes. And it just comes back to one point I've made it several times on this podcast. These guys are professionals. They're the best in the business. Bill Self is one of the best in the business. Townsend is one of the best in the business. He's done it for a long ass time. They know what happens in this game. Like, you cannot tell me that Snacks does not know Chicago recruiting circles and the shit that goes on in Chicago. You cannot tell me that. You cannot tell me that Townsend, well, I love the man, doesn't know about this stuff.
And I'm not willing to go that far because I just don't know.
Oh, man.
I just don't know.
I think they would be, honestly, I think they would be terrible at their job if they didn't know. I think they would be so far under the sand that if they did not know this was going on, if they didn't have the intel to know which guys to go after and which ones not to spend resources and time and energy, you know, Andrew, they have to have that intel, that interest. Like, it is in everyone's interest for them to know, hey, this guy is clearly a Nike guy. He has been paid through the nose. There ain't no way he's going anywhere but a Nike school. Stop recruiting that guy. Go spend some more time somewhere else. You can't tell me they don't get that information. Like, that happens all the time. All the time. And all this does is prove it. I mean, just shows exactly what everyone's been saying for forever about college basketball recruiting. But anyway, we can disagree. The other thing I'm
not disagreeing. I'm just not taking a position because I just acknowledge that there's a lot that I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. I agree. And I'm not going to sit here and say I have the answers. I don't. But I am pretty confident in that one. The other thing, Andrew, and we just briefly talk on this, we'll move on to the next thing. Do you think, were you surprised at all or any reaction to KU going forward with the $191 million Adidas contract?
No, what are they going to do? Sign with Jordache? Are they going to go resurrect Fila in the United North America? Like, hey, Fila, come back to North America. We need to sign a contract. Like, no, this is what they're going to do. I'm surprised they did it so quickly. Like, yeah. And optics. Didn't like wait until, you know, Friday, the Friday before the 4th of July, where no one's around to release that. But no, I'm not surprised at all.
Optics are a little awkward there. Although here's the thing.
But one thing before we go on, it does show that maybe they're not really worried about it.
Well, that's where I was going to go with that. You know, optically, if you're going to maintain that you don't know anything about this and you're not concerned about it, then yeah, you just go ahead and do business as usual. To unwind that, you know, months of negotiation because of this issue, you know, I think that does potentially not show guilt, but at least make you think about what they're talking about or thinking about. Also, just practical realities. It's $191 million. Like, that was probably, or I guarantee, was the highest bid, right? Nike was not paying $192 million. And so I think it was just, I had no reaction other than say it was obvious. But people did. I mean, there was a lot of people. Doster wrote an article on NBC, you know, Kansas plans to go forward. Obviously, Jesse Newell did something too. And got a lot of clicks. People like, wow, Kansas goes through with this. I would not have guessed that, you know. But I'm with you. Maybe they could have waited a little bit. Okay, we've covered several of these things already. One of the things we haven't covered is the media and opposing coach reaction to this. And this kind of goes back to the Pat Forty article that he put out, I don't know, a couple of days ago, really talking up the KU playing the victim card nonsense, and how that coaching circles and college basketball circles are balking at that characterization of Kansas being a victim. And, you know, several quotes in there, I don't have the story in front of me, but it essentially was from other coaches saying things like, nothing surprised me about this. I was waiting for Kansas to be implicated. This is well known, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, all off the record, nonsensical comments that any coach anywhere who recruits against Kansas would absolutely be self-interested in giving that quote. But that's just my initial take. What was your reaction to some of the reaction, just honestly, from the national media, and then, you know, some of those quotes you're seeing out there?
I think up until this point in the podcast, I've been very rational, very level-headed.
I agree.
Very reasonable, willing to accept both sides, willing to acknowledge both sides. That's until now. This is where I'm going to get a little Alex Jonesy, a little conspiracy theory, but I don't think I'm wrong, because this stinks to high heaven, Kevin. This stinks. Okay, let's look at the people who are perpetuating that line of thought. Dennis Dodd and Pat Forty. Dennis Dodd and Pat Forty are Missouri Tiger graduates, both of them. Anytime there's anything to do with KU in the media where there's a hint of blood, they attack like sharks. So I fully believe that in their head, like, let's go after Kansas. Let's go after Kansas as hard as we can. We'll spin it the way we want to spin it and talk about, like, oh, are they legitimate in saying they're victims? This is coming from Mizzou grad. So I think that this is the border war being fought in the media, and we need to get a better journalism school, Kevin, because we don't have the Dennis Dodd and Pat Forty counterparts out there to correct this BS. I think this is the border war. We need a Fox News to compete with the Missouri Tigers, CNN. That's my conspiracy theory. Obviously, I don't really think that, only kind of think that. But I do think that those guys are being a little too, I don't know the word.
Blood in the water?
Blood in the water about it. Because, I mean, you know what? If I was a journalist and something happened to Missouri, I would probably jump on them too.
Yeah.
I can say that they would do it just because I would probably do it too. The other way.
I'm not sure I'm 100% in on the conspiracy theory, other than I'm not saying. I know.
I'm not saying I am either. It's just fun to say.
But I'm going to give it a little credence. I would say this: if you're Pat Forty, or in your case, if you're Andrew, and you see a Missouri story that you have to cover anyway as part of your job, won't you spend maybe a little bit more time, maybe get a few more money quotes, maybe just characterize the article just a little bit more negatively? I totally agree with that, because that has absolutely happened. If you read, I mean, just read the words. It's funny how,
it's all based on one quote from unnamed coach.
There's a few of them. I mean, who knows? It's all off the record. So that's the other stuff I don't like about this is, here's one quote. Everyone was shocked when Kansas wasn't in the initial indictment. Another one, can't people have been talking about Kansas like this for years? Another one. When you have multiple players over a couple of years, isn't that a coincidence? Four players in a short period of time. Lucy, you've got some splaining to do. That's from Dan Dockage. Never mind. that one's not surprising.
I think it's just from like one source. None of them are named.
But the point is, if you're an opposing coach, I mean, let's just talk self-interest here.
Yeah.
What would you say? Oh no, Bill's a great guy. I would never have guessed that.
Some would.
No, they could say Bill's a great guy, but they're still going to say, but no one is questioning the fact that everyone has been talking about Kansas cheating. But like, even if you love Bill Self, and I think almost all of these people do, maybe not a couple in our conference.
Pat Forty or Dennis Dodd.
Well, I'm talking about the coaches. Like, but from a coaching perspective, like, everyone likes Bill Self. But generally speaking, he's very, very, very well liked. He's kind of like Huggins. Like, no one really dislikes Huggins in the coaching circles. But I can tell you this, that people get mad when he gets beat. They get beat by him, and they get mad when they lose guys to him. So in this situation, you can say, hey, Bill Self's a great guy. I love the guy. Great, you know, Oklahoma kid, good smile, love the guy, love to have a beer with him. But that dude cheats. like that would be my reaction. If I'm a coach in, you know, in Memphis, or if I'm a coach of Florida, or if I'm a coach in North Carolina or anywhere, and I get that call, that would be the easiest thing I could say. the easiest thing. You wouldn't even have to ask me twice to give that quote. But anyway, so that's why I was kind of laughing at that and more annoyed by it than anything. It's kind of going back to the whole annoyed.
This stinks, Kevin. This stinks to high heaven, Kevin.
Here's the best part about that story. They called him Teflon Bill.
That's awesome.
Teflon Bill. No more Teflon Don. It's Teflon Bill.
Love it.
All right, Andrew, what have we not covered, hon? We did that.
Predictions.
Okay, Silvio. Yeah, let's talk about Silvio.
Silvio predictions and then some concluding thoughts. And then I cannot talk about this anymore. Silvio, I can't come on here. Like if you look on, if you watch CNN, if you watch the soap opera that is the Trump administration, the most common thing for people to say is, I'm not a lawyer, but, and then they give a conclusion like they are a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are lawyers, but I can say like, I don't know, but I really don't know. I can see how someone like Silvio comes over from Angola and put some trust into someone, a handler, or I mean, that's a bad way to put it, but a guardian whose interest in bringing them over is purely basketball, is purely financial. And that's tough to say, because I'm sure that they got along and they were, you know, there's a lot of trust put in there, but the guy ultimately was looking to make some money, I think. And so a guy, a person unfamiliar like Silvio, unfamiliar with the situation, unfamiliar with how things work, gets brought over to the United States to play in Florida. Like this happens a lot. You know, we saw it with Embiid, saw it with you know, several other folks. And the handler's like, I've got this guy. I'm going to shop him. I'm going to shop him with Silvio not knowing anything about this. You know, he talks to Under Armour. He talks to, by the way, we need to talk about that. That's one other thing we need to talk about. Talks and then makes a deal, and then Silvio changes his mind, wants to go to Kansas based on, you know, pure recruiting things, like, you know, got along with Bill Self or whatever the reason. So they're taking advantage of this kid. You know, is that Bill Self's fault? Is that Silvio De Sosa's fault for not knowing? You know, I think Silvio is getting taken advantage here. And if he gets kicked out of the NCAA or is not allowed to play college basketball, then he's the real victim here. I think people are going to point to him and say, like, oh, he's dirty. He's a bad kid. But I think he's the one who really got taken advantage of. And I don't know whose fault that is, but if he doesn't end up returning to KU, that's a real shame.
I totally agree with that. I mean, that's the thing that sucks about this whole thing. We can kind of laugh at, you know, everything we've been talking about. But when it comes down to it, like, the people that are hurt the most are usually the kids. I mean, Reggie Bush, that's not a good example. Reggie Bush got like $300,000. He was riding around in limos, but Silvio wasn't. I mean, Silvio just was looked to go to a school, man. And if he really didn't know, and I would be surprised if he did. I mean, I think it's generally in the kid's best interest not to know too. You know, if you're steering these things, yeah, I mean, it sucks. Like he would not be, you know, shoot. It took him 3 months to get comfortable for a college game. You think he's ready to go play in the G League right now? You think he's ready to go play overseas? Like, no, he needs a couple of years at Kansas. It'd be best for him to get a couple of years at Kansas. And that will suck a lot if he has to forego his NCAA, you know, clearing and not be able to play anymore and have no eligibility. So, but bottom line, based on some precedent and based on things we know about the NCAA and things they've done in the past, it is very possible that he probably was ineligible playing in games. And, you know, as we talked about before, there's a chance that maybe they don't want him talking or he doesn't want to talk to the NCAA about this stuff. And he ultimately ends up going to the G League or somewhere else. Which that would suck. What's your prediction, though?
I think that he'll be back, be suspended for a while, assuming all this is true, have to pay back some money. I think it's tough to punish the kid, tough to punish the institution if there wasn't, you know, direct control or knowledge of it. I mean, culpability-wise, it's not on the university or the kid. So I think, you know, take the suspension, even though I think it would be a little bit unfair, but that's ultimately what I think it'll end up being. What do you think?
I think it's going to be super awkward. My guess is, just from a timeline perspective, this is not going to be worked out by the time the 2019 season rolls around. I think he'll still be part of the team. I think he'll practice. I think he'll be part of the off-season activities, etc. But one thing to watch, if he's not, if he does leave, that's kind of scary. That's something where we go, oh crap, that maybe there was a little bit more going on here. But if he stays, which I anticipate that he will, and things have not been worked out, it would not surprise me if we hold him out at the beginning of next year. And it's sort of a Billy Preston situation. He remains part of the team. He continues to work out, get, you know, all the benefits of being a student athlete at Kansas, but that would not surprise me at all, unless they get some pretty strong clearance from the NCAA about his eligibility. I don't know how he can play, because the same would have happened for Billy. I mean, he'd have been playing if they'd have known or felt comfortable with it, and they obviously didn't, so they held him out. They're not going to play Silvio and risk another potential banner coming down. You know, that knowing now, and that's the difference. Before, we didn't know. Knowing now, I think, changes things. I don't think they can play him, but hopefully it gets worked out.
Couple dates to consider. The G League draft is in October. I'm assuming you have to declare for that in the weeks and months before that. So maybe at the beginning of the season, we will know a little bit more, or at the beginning of the school year, we'll know a little bit more. Moving on past Silvio, just briefly, is there no honor among thieves? We have to pay back debts amongst like illegal transactions from company to company. How common is that?
Yeah, I think we should probably give the handler a little bit of credit here.
Yeah, what? Like, oh, well, we got to pay back your Under Armour money.
Yeah.
What?
No, I think you're doing it wrong. First of all, you should be getting the check from everybody, and whichever one was the biggest, that's the one you go to. Don't. That's not shopping the kid. That's returning, returning payments. That was kind of funny. You're right. It was sort of like the honor to return that payment did make me laugh a little bit. And obviously it could have implicated Maryland too. I mean, that whole conversation, kind of interesting.
It certainly implicates Maryland too.
Yeah. I mean, there's a story out, I think, I don't know who wrote it. I saw it earlier. It might've been Capital Journal did a whole story on Galloway. Might've been a whole story on the recruitment of Silvio, and they got Jerry Meyer and all these other 24/7 people on and talking about how he was 100% to Maryland and the crystal ball, and then went to Kansas and kind of shocked everybody. And they, one of the stories from the Maryland 24/7 site was like kind of almost like it said something like surprising turn of events. Silvio declares goes to Kansas, and that story that had been dormant for, 6 months, all of a sudden is by far their most read story on their website.
Yeah.
Because everyone going back to read it. I mean, it's just basically the opposite of DeAndre Ayton recruitment, where we thought, he was coming to Kansas 100%, all the recruiting experts had him coming to Kansas. And then, obviously goes to Arizona under shady circumstances, potentially it's a very similar situation with Kansas here and Silvio De Sousa. One of the other things I wanted to quickly touch on, Andrew, and then we can kind of get final predictions and get out. In Pat Forty's article, he cites members of the NCAA infractions committee and quotes from them specifically, and about just general concepts and what they look for and things like that. And one of the implications of that, the guy sort of implied, and I can't remember, it was like a law professor at some universities on this infractions committee. One of the things he said was, for a kid who's a high profile athlete or high profile recruit, you have a higher standard as a compliance department at a school to ensure that you are not that person is indeed eligible and clean. Sort of implying that all recruits are not made equal. If you have an Andrew Wiggins, you should be doing a lot more due diligence on the kid and his eligibility instead of, you know, recruiting Mitch Lightfoot, and the, what you would do with that, or, you know, whoever else. And I kind of took offense to that a little bit, and curious of your thoughts. It seems to me that if you start making those lines drawn at a compliance department, again, we're talking about a compliance department at Kansas, which is large for, you know, most schools. It's a good department, but it's got limited resources just like everyone else. Are you asking a compliance department to go in and check a kid's finances, like talk to the family about their finances, like do due diligence about that, ask for bank accounts? Like, how in the world could you ever do that?
No, I agree. And if you, I do agree with that, but go ahead.
And if you ask them and say, have them sign some contract or attestation or something, I have not received any impermissible benefits, which, by the way, the NCAA does for the kids. They have, in the part of, as part of the clearinghouse process, ask the kid, have you received anything? Have you foregone your amateurism in any way? And they sort of explain that. That's part of the clearinghouse. But they don't do it to the family. And they don't. And so is Kansas required to go out and put these procedures in place that are absolutely impossible? And then part two, even if they obviously lie on those, how are you holding Kansas accountable for that? And it sounds like that's the situation that we're in. Curious your thoughts on that.
No, I understand what you're saying, and I do agree. You know, if you I do agree with the statement of that. I think that if you know a kid is higher profile, that the risk is greater for something happening, for there to be some, outside people coming in to try to make them ineligible or to get them ineligible. I do agree with that, that maybe extra care has to be understood to be taken. However, I don't agree that, like, how are you supposed to do that as a compliance department? I mean, are you supposed to every AAU coach, every AAU assistant coach, every high school coach, every family member and go through their finances and have them sign something? That's unrealistic and something they can't do.
Impossible.
You know, if I'm an uncle of a recruit and I get something that says, you know, have you taken any money regarding this guy? Like, I would certainly send it in saying no. It's just a form, but if they come to my house and they want my bank records, I'm going to say, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, get out of here.
So I guess I would be, and I am not familiar with the details of a compliance program and how that works, but that's essentially what it seems to be what they're asking. That's
you
unreal.
Get top paper in sports law like I did.
I got an A though.
I'm just kidding.
I got an A.
You got more A's than I did.
Kevin, do you want to have a top paper battle?
No, here? I don't.
Do you want to get my my shoebox full of top paper here?
I only got two in law school. Give me my sports.
That's pretty
law.
Good. No, that's pretty good. Two's good.
Thanks, Andrew.
I got more than two.
Yeah. But, screw you.
All right, I'm done.
Done?
Let me say this. The closeout. I don't know what side I'm on here. And I'd want more information to come out here. It seems to me that the culpability for Kansas here is low if they didn't know what's going on. And I'm gonna continue on with that and look back to things like Cam Newton and look back to, you know, who's the real victim here, who's the real bad actor here.
Is the banner coming down?
I don't think so. But I will say this. I'm willing to keep my mind open. I recently read Season on the Brink about Bob Knight, and I kind of saw the nastiness that goes inside with college athletics and how a fan base can support terrible things. And if you look back to maybe the end of the Bob Knight era or the Paterno era, where fans kind of are not reasonable and are willing to, you know, take their torches and pitchforks and march for a unreasonable outcome. Like I'm not going to be one of those guys. But until that happens, and I mean, I don't think it will, I guess I'm willing to say that, you know, there's things that need to change. And this isn't regards to Kansas. And I don't know if it's changing the rules or changing how we interact with these shoe companies. But this isn't great. This isn't a good situation, and I'm not going to be a fan that's going to go down with the ship if that's what it's going to be.
I totally agree with you. And reading the outright defensiveness of KU fans on Twitter, and Twitter is different. I mean, you get someone face to face, maybe they're a little different, but it has been not a great look actually for KU fans, in my opinion.
What do you expect?
No, I'm not expecting anything. It's called a fan for a reason. It's short for fanatic. I mean, that's the whole point. You are not reasonable about your fandom. I mean, otherwise you'd call it something else. I am that way on certain things, but when it comes to this stuff, I'm probably open as it comes to having and accepting different viewpoints about the state of play. And, you know, maybe that's just kind of been developed over time. Maybe it is law school hammered into you to be skeptical. But the point is that I'm exactly with you. I hope that nothing comes of this. I hope it's limited to what we know today. I hope that they don't punish Silvio for actions that don't have anything to do with Silvio. I hope that that banner stays up because, damn it, we've been a long time since we got a banner. And I hope the streak's alive. And that's the other kind of interesting point. I mean, even if it comes down or whatever, we'll always still say 15 straight or whatever if we win next year. But, you know, that would suck. It would be a mark on Bill Self that maybe he doesn't deserve because he's a victim of what we have.
Victim.
He is a victim of what we have in place as a system. It's not his system. He's just better at it than most. And if you want to keep your job, if you want to make $6 million a year, you better be freaking good at it. And he's excellent. So that's what I'm saying. I if you want to change something, change the rules. And hopefully that's where we land. I know that Condoleezza Rice is heading up
Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, it's heading up
I love Condi.
You like Condi? It's heading up some sort of whatever it is, working group, commission, something from the NCAA to look into all of this.
I'm very skeptical that
skeptical exactly of anything changing very much from that, but. Anyway, we'll see. Obviously, a lot more to come, but hopefully, those that were wanting to hear our takes, the two lawyers talking about this nonsense, you have gotten it in this 1 hour long podcast. Sorry, Andrew, it went beyond 45 minutes. We will have another podcast coming soon talking about the 2017-18 Kansas Jayhawks and the season that was, including the Final Four run and some of the storylines from throughout the year. We will endeavor not to bring this up at all.
No, because you know what, Kevin? I first of all, I hated doing this podcast. Second of all, we didn't even talk about like Devontae Graham leaving or Malik Newman declaring for the draft or Gerald Vick declaring for the draft. These are the things I want to talk about. Yeah. The next time we're going to talk about that stuff. That's what I really want to talk about.
I agree. And we'll probably have some more clarity around that too in the next week or so. Romeo Langford also announcing his commitment at the end of the month. We'll probably do a podcast before then, but all signs are leading to Indiana, Andrew. But don't look at the crystal ball just yet.
I think all signs were leading to Vanderbilt.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know. It's not us. I thought it was Indiana. Anyway, well, whatever.
Well, get the paycheck, Adidas.
That's the other thing. We signed this $191 million contract. For Christ's sake, get Romeo over here. What are we doing?
Show your value, Adidas.
No kidding.
Three stripe. Well, okay. Just to close this out, I just keep an open mind with this, folks. Don't react with. I don't know. I'll just say keep an open mind. I don't know if you should take an opinion here, but it definitely opens our eyes to certain things and. I think it's okay to be introspective instead of putting our head in the sand here.
I disagree. Fire all the hot takes you want.
Hot takes.
All right, let's get out of here. Thanks all for listening. You can find us at Jayhawk Talk, at Sherlock Hoops on Twitter. Leave us a 5-star review. Thank you to all of you that went out and did that over the March and April months. We ended up getting all the way to number one, Andrew. We talked about we were number two last time. We all made it all the way to number one for a time period. And that's because of you guys going out there and subscribing, leaving those comments and ratings. We appreciate that. Keep doing that. Tell a friend about the podcast. We will be back soon talking about the season that was and looking forward with Kansas basketball. Maybe even a little KU football at some point in the offseason. Until then, Rock Chalk.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, nine times get the cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks.